Somebody just needs to grow a pair and step up.
Do you want a piece of me?
It's the Mac Attack.
I'm going to kick your butt till you fall in the lake. And I'm not joking, because when I'm kidding, I say knock, knock.
The Mac Attack.
You look like a potato and a chicken nugget had a baby.
Oh! It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Don't make me bake a pie and put your face in it, because your butt is your face, and your face is your butt.
Hey, let's go, Vegas. Happy Friday. You made it. The work is done. I always do this. I was like, yay, it's Friday in Las Vegas, and I'm fully knowing that, like, half the people listening, this is like their Wednesday.
Yeah, this isn't Des Moines. This isn't South Bend.
Hey.
Yeah.
Welcome into the end of the week. Yeah, no, sorry, Vegas.
Yeah, hump day. Today is hump day for some people.
Yeah, happy hump day.
Yes.
Valley. Oh, gosh.
I think you coined that, by the way.
What?
That's now ours.
What?
Friday is now hump day in Vegas.
In Vegas. Yeah. I like it.
Right? Because a lot of restaurants are closed on Mondays. A lot of shows are dark on Mondays or Tuesdays.
Or it's industry nights.
Yeah.
That's the real weekend.
Yes.
We'll hit the weekend on Monday. Happy Friday. That's going to mess me all up. You like the pro wrestling intro there.
Why is that Seth Rollins at the end?
That is the face is your butt and the butt is that one.
That fails.
Yeah, well, it was actually, I remember when that promo was done, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It was meant to be comedic.
Okay.
It wasn't meant to be, it was meant to be bad, good.
It almost sounds like an SNL kind of. Yeah.
And that's really what it was supposed to be.
It
was supposed to be over the top and ridiculous. That was not like an actual promo.
I'm proud of myself for knowing that was Seth Rollins, though.
Well, you think about, why are we talking about pro wrestling and why was there an intro? Well, because coming up in a couple short hours, you can still get tickets. I think the secondary market's pretty cheap as well, but I mean, go to the box office, get some tickets. They're not expensive, I should say. Yes, SmackDown.
That's very cool.
Is in town. And what's cool about this, SmackDown being in town, it's the new SmackDown. They debuted on Friday on Fox, last Friday in L.A. This is the second ever Fox show. So we're talking big plans here in Vegas. This is a huge show. They're doing their WWE draft where they draft different talent to different shows. Obviously, you have the Monday show, Monday Night Raw, which you guys, even if you're not a wrestling fan, I think you're kind of aware of.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been 30 years,
yeah,
it seems.
Yeah, 26?
I mean, I can remember, well, I mean, I'm old, so I remember watching how, like, MSG shows on Monday nights when WWF was a thing.
Sure.
Before it came WWE, right. And they would do Monday nights, and it was either in, like, one of five places. It was either at the Spectrum in Philadelphia, it was at Madison Square Garden,
Boston
Maple
Garden.
Leaf Gardens in Toronto, Montreal Forum, and Boston Garden.
Yep. Well, that was that era.
Yeah.
East Coast. It was the federations, the territories, and all that good stuff. But that old WWF is in town tonight, so we thought we'd hit you a little. That's all we're going to talk about. Don't worry. We're not pushing off our listeners. But it is going to be pretty cool because it is the WWE is trying to really get their best foot forward in terms of this Fox deal. So they procured a lot of the Fox talent. So Frank Thomas, Alex Rodriguez, a lot of them are going to appear over the next couple days.
And I'm sure they were all wrestling fans. I mean, everybody, whether you admit it or not. Yeah. You were a wrestling fan.
You caught it.
Yes.
You caught it. You know about Hulk Hogan or Steve Austin, or we go back to Gorgeous George. And if you're really old and you listen to the show, Lou Fez. And happy 90th birthday to anyone who's listening to the show who knows who Lou Fez is.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, one of the OGs.
Bobo Brazil, yeah, guys like that.
Yeah. There you go. That's actually, Lou Fez is a little bit older than Bobo. But, yeah, good stuff. SmackDown in town tonight. Go out there. Get your tickets. Ticketmaster. And be out there at T-Mobile Arena. All right, let's do it. Let's talk some sports.
It's the opening round.
Finish him.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Round one, fight.
The reign of Tom Brady is annoying. I will give you that. It's a lot. Every year in and year out, Tom Brady is in the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, MVPs, whatever the case may be. It's unrelenting. It feels like, Magnum, that it's been a lifetime.
Well, it has been for a lot of people.
It's true.
Especially fans of the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills. And Colts.
You speak from experience.
Lots of it, yes.
Yeah, and if you're a Bears fan like me, the one year that Tom Brady isn't in the stupid Super Bowl, you get Peyton Manning. So it's been hell for the last 20 years if you're an NFL fan and you're not a Patriots fan or I guess we can throw the Seahawks and Broncos. I mean, obviously, there's a couple Super Bowl winners in there, but it's been a lot. It's been drug out. I get it. I get it.
They've been to a lot of Super Bowls in the last 20 years.
They have.
More than any team in history.
Yep. And again, I get it. It's frustrating. It sucks. It's annoying. It's taxing on you as an NFL fan. It's taxing on your fandom. But not nearly for me, Magnum. As taxing as having to wake up today and listen, I'm not going to pull people's audio. I'm not going to name people. That's not really my thing. You know, what we all do is difficult. It takes a lot of preparation. A lot of the people that I'm talking about are in much higher pay places than I am, and they have obligations. They got to bring the takes, baby. But what I'm hearing today from a 6-0 football team, from a man who, again, last night, threw for 300 yards. Granted, no touchdowns. I understand that. Sometimes that happens. Not every game there are touchdowns thrown, even when you're the mighty Tom Brady. But it's 6-0 with another 300-yard game in his back pocket, which I believe is his third or fourth of the season. He's sitting around 100 rating overall. To have to sit here on this Monday and listen to people hitch their wagons.
Friday.
Thank you. Well, we were doing the... I was all mixed up from the intro.
Oh, I got you. Yeah,
the three shift, non-typical five.
It's hump day. Remember, it's hump day. Yes.
That's right. Right. No. As we sit here on this Friday, because it does, it feels like a Monday night game. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, the whole Thursday night thing though, it still screws me up.
Threw me off. But to sit here on a Friday, the day after, right, and have people conjuring the takes of the demise of Tom Brady, it's comical to me from this standpoint. It's inevitably going to happen. This has been happening since 2007, 2008, where people are pontificating and people are trying to find their best reasons and little minutiae and looking at game tape. Oh, look, that was a little underthrown. That wasn't what was on the dime. Oh, he's been... Well, what? Stop. This man is... He is the defending Super Bowl champion. He has 6 Super Bowl rings. He threw for 300 yards last night, and he's continuing to throw for 300 yards. He is a threat. He is also, he's winning games at 6-0, undefeated. I just can't imagine coming on the radio today and trying to make a case for a 6-0 undefeated team as to why they might not be as dangerous as people think. Oh, also, defending Super Bowl champions. What? I've never seen a team get less respect in that regard, where people are just, they're trying to be the first. This is like trying to be like the first to call Keith Richards death. Right? Like, I told you it was going to happen.
Yeah, 6 years ago.
Right. We would say Keith Richards is going to die forever. And you know what he does? He keeps living. He's inevitably going to die soon because he's Keith Richards. He's like 75 years old. Time is against him. But when you're coming out and saying, Keith Richards, he's on his last leg. Duh. I don't know what to say. Of course he's on his last leg, but he's still out touring. He's still raking in millions of dollars, and he's still at the height of his game. No one else is doing it like the Rolling Stones, right? And in terms of consistency, in terms of regularly starting a season 6-0, 7-0, 7-1, 8-2, whatever the case may be, it's Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. They are perennial winners. It is so ridiculous to have to sit here today. I heard one person make the bold prediction this Tom Brady team is not what they once were. They're slagging. The end is near for number 12, for TB12. They're not making the AFC championship this year. Oh, my goodness. What a bold prediction. You want to make a bold prediction? Buffalo Bills are going to win the AFC East.
That's a bold prediction. Yeah.
Patriots wild card. Buffalo takes them out in the first. You know what I mean? There's a prediction. Telling me that Tom Brady isn't going to make it out of the AFC Championship? Fine. But you're acknowledging that a 42-year, whatever the hell he is going to make it to the AFC Championship. Why are you saying that? Because you fully acknowledge, knowing damn well, that the 6-0 New England Patriots are as big as a threat to anyone else in the NFL right now. And again, I mentioned this, Tom Brady is doing it with backups of backups. He has no one of value in that team. Not really.
He's got a wide receiver, and he's got a running back. That's it.
Who's the running back?
Sonny Michel.
Come on. He's serviceable. It's just decent.
I mean,
yes, he's decent.
But he's not.
It ain't Ezekiel Elliott.
No. Well, I mean, if Brady had Ezekiel Elliott, forget it.
I know. But it's not even Tom Brady, or it's not even a Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
But he's
a starter. He would start on a lot of teams.
Yeah, he would. I'll give you that. He's a low.
And Josh Gordon is still really good.
Well,
other than that, you're right. He's got nothing.
And Gordon was out in the game last night. He didn't play.
Philip Dorsett didn't play.
No. So again, no Rob Gronkowski. It's another year of Tom Brady in the scrub squad, and he's making it work to 6-0. And I'm being callous. It's not actually the case, right?
No. You're very close though, because he is playing with a bunch of nobodies,
right? And I just like I'm not sitting here trying to wave the Tom Brady flag. I'm not trying to drive the bandwagon. I'm sick of it. It's been 20 years. I'm good. It can be done, right? But give credit where credit's due. This is stupid. You look stupid. They're 6-0. He's doing it with nobody. He threw for 332 yards last night. He threw for 332 yards last night. I would kill for that on my team. You would kill for that on your team.
Absolutely.
God damn the 6-0. I'm just talking about the 330 every single week.
Yeah, give me that.
Yeah, I don't even need a touchdown.
Because I know if Sam Darnold's throwing for 330 yards, the Jets are winning football games.
Right, because then you're getting it within the 3-yard line, the 2-yard line. You're in the red zone. You hand it off to Le'Veon Bell. You're winning games.
Yes.
I don't even care about the touchdowns.
Yeah.
330 yards. Decent.
No, don't throw a lot of interceptions.
Oh, 31 of 4. Oh, sorry. I'm getting all the numbers. I'm actually looking at the numbers right now. I said 322 or 334 with a completion rate of 31 of 41.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad for a 42-year-old guy. I hate defending him.
Yeah, I know. That's another thing. Damn it. Radio, TV people, talking heads out there, you're forcing me to defend Tom Brady. I hate you for that as well.
Yeah. See, now I have taken the complete opposite approach. As a lifelong New York Jets fan and a lifelong New York Mets fan who's had to suffer with both the Yankees dominating in my lifetime and now the Patriots dominating in my lifetime. Oh, and by the way, the Giants have won a couple Super Bowls in my lifetime. Meanwhile, Jets...
I mean, it's all New York, man. Can't you just give a little slice and like allow yourself to be a little happy for the city?
I like the Sixers. I mean, they're
that's filthy.
Yeah. So I escaped from New York a little bit, but they're no good either. But Brady is going to play until he's 75. He is going to be Keith Richards. He is going to play till he's 75. He's still going to be throwing for 300 yards. Patriots are going to win 6 more Super Bowls, and there's nothing I or anyone else can do about that. It's just the way it is. Accept it. Deal with it. Because I am going to suffer. That's why this is going to happen. Because the football gods have chosen me and all the other Jet fans. And all the other Jet fans to suffer.
Well, we're all Jets.
It was Mo Lewis who knocked Drew Bledsoe into next week, bringing Tom Brady onto the field.
So you're saying the Jets are solely responsible for the rise of Tom Brady?
They should give the Jets some rings. New England should be sending the Jets rings. Thank you very much for showing us that Tom Brady was the greatest quarterback of all time because he was sitting on our bench. And we didn't even know how good he was.
Sorry, buddy. I see this has brought up very
it's like very
serious emotions for you.
Oh, lots of them. And I love Mo Lewis too.
We will get to the Vegas Golden Knights dropping. I told you yesterday. Don't sleep on Arizona. They will kick you in the teeth. Vegas Golden Knights talk coming up towards the end of the show. Wes Reynolds from VSiN coming up here shortly. We're going to take a dive into this week in the NFL, get his thoughts on what he's eyeing on, what is he excited about. Hey, as we talk about dominant teams, as we talk about the New England Patriots going to 6-0 and doing their thing and kicking a mud hole in the Giants looked good for a little bit. They did. It was actually a close game for a little bit.
Yeah, talk about backups of backups. Yeesh.
Yeah, they aren't.
their practice squad running back was a guy who got the call last night.
Yeah, it was. And to be that close, I mean, a tip of the cap to Daniel Jones and the Giants because they did make it a game for a long time. And that Giants team has heart.
And that's how this works.
Yeah.
The Giants draft a guy that nobody's ever heard of. They get mocked on and laughed at for drafting the guy. And it turns out he's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I feel you. We're the guys that jumped up one spot to take Mitch Trubisky when no one knew who he was.
Oh, well,
gave up picks after picks.
The Jets were one draft. They were one pick away from Brett Favre. He was their guy. They had him circled. He was the guy. One pick. Atlanta Falcons select Brett Favre. New York Jets select Browning-Nagel.
One pick later. How long he lasts? About 3 years?
About 3 years,
I was going to say, it's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, so...
Nah, sports are great.
The Packers have had two quarterbacks since. They've had Favre and Rodgers.
Yeah.
the Jets have had probably like 12 guys like Quincy Carter.
Well, I'm going to make you real happy now.
Oh, no.
Yankees are in the ALCS again.
Yay. Yay. Go Yankees.
Go no. Yankees.
Oh, God.
Yankees versus Astros going down in the ALCS. Listen, I think this is really just this solidifies. Go Nationals. Is that like we're clearly, and I mean, if worst case scenario, we go with the Midwest Evil Empire, St. Louis. And you know what?
Yeah, they actually are are the Midwest Evil Empire.
They are and they aren't. From the standpoint, like, they win, but they don't do it in an evil empire sort of way, right?
Well,
like,
they're sneaky evil empire because
they don't have stars.
Paul Goldschmidt's a star.
Okay, fine, that's fair.
And they had Carlos Beltran for a little bit.
Yeah.
And they've had Pujols.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but yeah, for the most part, they have a bunch of guys that nobody's ever heard of.
Right.
I mean, they win with their minor league system, which is always really good. And what they do is they don't go out and they don't overspend, right? Like, right. They build their team.
So that can't be an evil empire.
Well, they are because
they win all they have so many World Series. And but again,
you know what though? They as much as I dislike them,
yeah.
They do it the right way.
Yeah. I know this. I'm rooting for the Astros in the ALCS, and then I'm rooting for the Nationals in the NLCS.
Yeah.
I'm hoping the Nationals can do it just because, whatever, since 1920, whatever it's been. I mean, it's been
forever for the city of Washington.
Absolutely.
Plus, they're stuck with the Redskins. Right. So I'm kind of rooting for them in that regard as well.
I don't even think they have a hockey team.
No, we don't talk about them. Yeah.
Never heard of them. Now, so.
Washington who? Oh, the Mystics won the WNBA title last night.
Oh, that's right.
Things are well in Washington, unless you're a Skins fan.
Yeah.
Ha-ha! Yeah.
Yeah, well.
That's what you get for having Daniel Snyder in a, well, racist name as your team.
Yeah.
Racist team name.
The Washington Whites.
Yes.
I honestly think that rolls off the tongue much better.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Let's go with that.
Remember the old T-shirt, the Caucasian T-shirt, where it was like the Cleveland Indians, but instead it was a Caucasian guy?
Yep. I like that
could be their logo. The Washington Caucasians.
So yeah, they're back. They're back. The Astros and the Yankees are back in the ALCS. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll be talking about it. Tyler Glasnow last night from the Devil Rays definitely was tipping his pitches.
Rough first inning.
Yeah, that is. It's kind of been talked about. Glasnow even talked about it after the game.
How'd you like to be a Pirates fan, by the way?
Well, I don't know. That's tough.
Both of those guys,
so much
former
right,
Pirates,
right. But so much history there, right?
Yeah,
and it's in a weird spot because we understand, you know, now with the new age of Major League Baseball and the television rights and the money these teams are getting, you have teams like Pittsburgh that clearly have good scouts.
Yes,
they have an organization of intelligent people that can put together winning teams. They just are getting the money anyway and then not giving it back to the team.
Well, and you know, a long time Kansas City was like that. They developed some amazing players, guys like Jermaine Dye, ended up winning the World Series with the White Sox.
Raul Ibanez,
Johnny Damon.
Great points.
They had so many good players.
And then they finally decided to keep a couple of them.
And they won a World Series.
They went to two.
Lost. They were so close, and you know, if Hosmer goes, if that ends up being an inside the park home run, who knows what happens.
Right?
But yeah, they go back-to-back World Series. They win one.
But you're right.
Now they'll be garbage for 30 years.
Right, but you're right. To be a Pittsburgh fan and to watch Glasnow and Gerrit Cole go back and forth, that's just got to be the worst.
I know a lot of people have kind of I'm not sure it's an original take, but Gerrit Cole right now is the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you.
I mean, I don't hear a lot of people saying it, but I'm sure there are some people who are saying it.
Well, just last week, 15 strikeouts in 7 and a half?
He's had double-digit strikeouts in like 11 straight games or something.
That's stupid.
It's ridiculous.
And he was sick when he was in Pittsburgh. I mean,
he was really good.
Yeah, he's a fireballer with sick break, and, you know, he's... You know, I don't know what he's. I don't think he's hitting triple digits these days. But I mean, he's 98.
I think they said last night he's one of only two pitchers in Major League Baseball history to have 2 12 strikeout games in the playoffs. The other being Bob Gibson.
Oh,
yeah, that's good company.
That's decent company to be in. That's decent company to be in. So try to swallow your vomit, baseball fans. It is I mean, we knew this going into the season. I have friends in a text group that they're Astro fans and Yankees fans, and they were making bets at the beginning of the season who was going to win the ALCS. I mean, we knew this was going to happen. So I guess the real interest draws when the World Series begins, because no matter what, you're going to have a David versus a Goliath. And I don't know if you can call a team like the St. Louis Cardinals, if they are to overcome the Nationals, a David because of the World Series they've won in the last 10 years, the last 20 years. You know what I mean? But they are. When you prop them up against the lineups of the Astros and the Yankees, which are just, they're AL All-Star teams. And, you know, all due credit, as Magnum said, Paul Goldschmidt, that was a nice get for this season, but...
And the Cardinals, by the way, yeah. Sixth highest payroll. So they're not exactly...
Really?
Yeah, $174 million. They're just ahead of the Houston Astros and the Washington Nationals.
That is shocking to me.
So the Yankees are third behind the Red Sox and the Cubs. So we have the third, sixth, seventh, and eighth highest payrolls.
Who's eighth?
The Washington Nationals.
Okay.
Just ahead of the Angels.
Okay.
So the Rays were the one hope for small market because everyone else in there is obviously huge. Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the Cardinals have spent that sort of money. I mean, obviously we know Goldschmidt eats up a lot of that.
Well, Yadier Molina's making $20 million.
Yeah, and rightfully so. He's the backbone of that team. I'm surprised he's making 20, but...
Yeah, Dexter Fowler, 16 and a half.
Okay. All right, well... Makes sense. All right, we are going to put a pause on the action. Coming up next here on the Mac Attack, we're going to head out to the phone lines. We're going to be joined up by our buddy Wes Reynolds from the Vegas Stats and Information Network, VSiN. Take a look at the week ahead in the NFL here on the Mac Attack. Keep it locked. All right, welcome back here to the Mac Attack on 920 The Game. Joining the show right now, you will be able to listen to him on this very station, 920 The Game, coming up in a couple hours from 6 to 10. He is the host of The Green Zone on VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network. He is Wes Reynolds. Wes, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Matt, good to be with you, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, I'm doing well for a couple reasons. I'm doing well because, well, we're entering a... Week 6 of the NFL, but I'm also doing well because SmackDown is here in Vegas in just a couple short hours. The second show on Fox. I know you're a pro wrestling fan, Wes.
Yes, sir.
I know. So what do you think? What are you expecting from this second show on Fox? And then, I mean, it's always exciting when the WWE lands in Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, you have the draft. So I'm really curious to see what direction they go. I mean, look, Raw is still the three-hour show, so they're going to have more people on the roster, but I'm curious to see how much they really balance out the rosters, because apparently they still want to stick to the brand split thing, and I'm curious to see how they really balance it out, because obviously you're going to have some star power on the Fox side for SmackDown. I mean, they can't treat it, I mean, and you and I have been watching this and following this for a long time, they can't really treat it as the proverbial B show.
No.
Like they've always done. I mean, SmackDown has always been looked at by WWE as really the B show, and Raw being the franchise, but now you have SmackDown on network television. Granted, on a Friday night, but on network TV, I mean, you're going to have some star power, and then plus, being that even though Vince McMahon still oversees everything and gets the final say, you've got two different people running these shows now. I mean, you have the more creative guy with Paul Heyman running Monday Night Raw, and then you have Eric Bischoff running SmackDown on Friday nights. I'm not sure how much he say he really has in the creative, though. I think he's more on the production side and dealing with the executives and such.
Right, right. Well, I'm curious, what do you think, because we know the XFL, Vince McMahon's new professional football league, is launching next year. I'm wondering how much attention that's going to take away from his other ventures, and not only the WWE, but WWE films and all the other things he has his hands in.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, too. I mean, I still think that, I mean, in terms of him really being hands-off,
yeah,
it's like, I'll believe it when I see it, because you know that, I mean, he can't help himself. Even though he's in his 70s now, right, he can't help himself and not be involved in this thing. So I'm interested to see how that's going to work. I just never see him really totally giving over his baby and his product to somebody else to really, okay, you run it how you see fit, and I'm just like kind of a advisor, kind of a sounding board. I never see him doing that.
Speaking of old guys, okay, maybe not like 75 years old or however old Vince is, but old enough. Let's, before we get to the week ahead in the NFL, let's just jump back about 12 hours to last night and Tom Brady – You know, I kind of started the show talking about this, Wes. The fact that people are coming on the air today, and I didn't mention names, but you know, you've probably seen some of the tweets and some of the posts. These people that are hanging their hat on the Tom Brady is dead narrative. At the man is 6-0. He threw for 330 whatever yards last night. I understand he didn't have a touchdown. He's undefeated. I kind of liken it to like people predicting the death of Keith Richards. Like, yeah, dummies, it's going to happen, but it's probably going to happen sometime soon. But you're not breaking any new ground by trying to get out in front of this and trying to tell me that Tom Brady's dead. I'll believe it when I see it, and I feel like, Wes, I'm never going to believe it because we really haven't seen anything that leads us to believe that Tom Brady is useless or whatever people are trying to sell us out there.
No, we haven't. And I mean, look, because it's not Tom Brady and the offense totally carrying the team, because right. the Patriots have probably one of the better defenses that they've ever had, maybe the best defense they've had during this run. And I mean, look, they're benefiting from the schedule. I believe the opponents they played are like 7-22 when you combine the records. So
right.
No, I'm not necessarily a believer that, hey, this team's going to go 16-0. I mean, they're going to get tripped up at some point just because they are getting that favorable schedule right now. And then next Monday night, they go to play the New York Jets, who may or may not be still winless, depending on how they do against Dallas this weekend. But look, this team, I think, is now the clear favorite still in the AFC. They're on a completely different level. And I mean, if you watch them, Mac, it's not like they look 100% sharp either.
No, it's true.
And they're still winning. And I mean, the fact that it was kind of, if you had the Giants and the points last night, I guess you could say maybe a fortunate cover for the Patriots because they didn't get ahead of the big number 17 until very late. But if you look at the stats, they doubled the Giants in yardage. The real tough beat was probably on the under, when you have three special teams and defensive touchdowns scored in the game. So that was really, I think, more of the tough beat than the Patriots. But, I mean, there's going to be a spot to, I think, get in front of these guys where you can take that chance and cross the tracks when the train is coming. But it's not going to be probably for at least a couple weeks because they continue this easy schedule. And then some of these other, every other team now in the AFC, I think, has questions, even including the Chiefs, who still are explosive offensively. But look, we saw what my Indianapolis Colts were able to do to the Chiefs last Sunday night.
Yeah.
I mean, did they quote unquote lay the blueprint? And I think bettors are kind of banking on that because if you've looked at the line movement throughout the week, the Texans are getting a lot of support here. I mean, you're seeing it down to 4 now, and I'm probably not getting involved in the game because I feel like you're a little late to the party if you want to bet the Texans at this point. But, I mean, the Patriots, I think, have the clear least weaknesses in the AFC, and it breaks my heart to say that, but, I mean, the truth is the truth.
Yeah, now, you mentioned that Kansas City-Houston game. It opened at 8.5. Kansas City was giving 8.5. As you mentioned, it is now down all the way to 4. Listen, I'm with you. You may not want to go Houston on this one, but convince me not to go Kansas City when I'm essentially getting 4.5 free points on this, at least in terms to what it was released as.
It would be the only way I would go
right.
At this point. I mean, look, Mahomes, we did see him limping around last Sunday on that ankle. And, I mean, gotta credit the Colts because they got a big-time pass rush, and they really hadn't done it much all year, but they got to Mahomes a little bit, and he was hobbling around a little bit out there. But the Chiefs do have some injury issues. I mean, we don't know if Sammy Watkins is going to play with the bad hamstring. Tyreek Hill got upgraded to questionable with the shoulder, but he still may be a week away. So the Chiefs got some injury issues, and I didn't like what I saw out of the offensive line last week against the Colts, who were relatively shorthanded. We know that Eric Fisher, his left tackle, has been out for a few weeks now, but they do have some injury concerns, which is why I'm not rushing to the window necessarily or to the mobile app to bet Kansas City. But that would almost be the only side I would be on if you say, hey, dude, you got to pick a game or you got to pick a side on this game. It would be the Chiefs at the lower number.
All right, so as we look ahead, there are some really interesting games to get to. I know you're not particularly high on the Rams in San Francisco, so we'll save that because I am moderately interested in the game just from a standing standpoint and to really find out where the 49ers hit. But you know what? Let's talk about Jacksonville because I think they're in an interesting spot here. Now they're going up against Teddy Bridgewater and the New Orleans Saints. Wes, you know, when Bridgewater took over, we thought this was going to be an entirely different team. Well, in some ways it is, but they're still winning. But you like Jacksonville here.
I do, and I have been impressed with Bridgewater. I mean, the Saints are doing it a little bit differently. They're not maybe running as high of a tempo as they would with Drew Brees, but you credit Bridgewater. He is getting it done, but I do like Jacksonville here as the small favorite and would probably play money line on this because you do have the Saints off two big wins at home, including a national TV win, because I think when Brees got hurt in the Rams game, they kind of wrote the Saints off for dead, and then they go to Seattle and win, and they beat Dallas, and they beat Tampa Bay, who took the money last week against New Orleans. The fact that New Orleans was only laying 3 at home to the Buccaneers, and New Orleans won that game in relatively easy fashion. But I do like Jacksonville in this spot. They've been on the road for a couple weeks. That game against Carolina, Minshew did get hit and fumbled 3 times, even though he didn't throw any interceptions. But sure enough, they had a chance to win the game at the end. They had the ball last and had a chance to tie, ended up losing 34-27. But I think there's something going on with this Jacksonville team, and I think Ramsey probably is going to end up playing. That's a different story with all the drama that's going on with him. But I think this team is starting to believe in Minshew mania, and they're starting to believe that, hey, this guy can get it done, Gardner Minshew. And on the Green Zone, Brady Cannon, my co-host, and I were talking about, you know, we might not get Nick Foles on the field again for the Jacksonville Jaguars, unless it's when he gets healthy and comes back in mop-up duty, because yeah. I think this kid has really taken the reins here, and it's going to be a relatively, at least for October standards, a relatively hot day in the hot 80s down in Jacksonville. This is a New Orleans team that does play in a dome, so, I mean, there could be, I think, the exhaustion or anything or the heat getting to you, it might not get to you right away. It kind of, I guess, snowballs a little bit in the second half. But, yeah, I do like Jacksonville. They seem to be kind of, if you want to use the term, anti-public favorite here. So, yeah, I think you're getting the Jags at a cheap price, and I think they get the win here.
Well, another game that you're interested in, which I got to be honest, it kind of surprised me, and I guess it's just because the optics of the last time we saw this team on the field. I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns. They were less than stellar. Now, they're playing the Seattle Seahawks, a team that I don't want to say surprises people, but they find themselves as a real force in the NFC, and that may be a surprise in the sense that people are now looking at NFC Championship, potentially Super Bowl for the Seattle Seahawks, but you like Cleveland here, Wes.
I do, and I'm trying to see if I have the chutzpah or the huevos here to take them as a small underdog, or maybe if I try to make the safer play and really tease that, because this looks like good teaser filler. If you're playing a 6-point teaser, which I'll do one or two of those, I won't go crazy, but I'll usually do those every week on the NFL, and you could get this team up through the 3 and the 7, you get them up to 7.5, 8 points, it's like, okay, I'll do that. I mean, I think Cleveland is kind of showing us what they are a little bit. They're going to be a Jekyll and Hyde team.
Yeah.
One week they're going to look really bad, and one week they're going to look really good. And I think a lot of the hype got maybe a little out of control over the summer in terms of maybe people were a year early on this team, because it's hard to ignore that this team's got a lot of talent.
Right.
And I do think Baker Mayfield has potential. You know, they've got Nick Chubb, who is one of the better running backs in the NFL. I think right now they just need to use him more. The receiving core is good. They do have talent throughout the roster, but you do have a head coach now only in his 6th game in the National Football League. You do have a new offensive coordinator. You have a new defensive coordinator. So it takes time. So maybe the cart got before the horse a little bit in terms of the Browns being a legitimate contender this year. I think maybe a year or 2 years down the line, they'll be right up there in the pecking order with the AFC. But this is one that
I would definitely tease up, and if you're looking maybe for another piece to put with it, if you like to tease, and that's what I like to do around those 2.5, I like to usually tease up the dog. So maybe there's a possibility, I guess, Tampa Bay could be something you put up with it, teasing up the underdog, or Arizona against Atlanta could be a possibility if you like to take down favorites, taking Dallas down to about a point favorite at the Jets, even though Darnold is going to play and that makes them better. But how much does that make them better over 1 week? And right. then Tennessee would also be another option to tease up to those key numbers.
All right, here with Wes Reynolds from VSiN. He is the host of The Green Zone. You can catch it. Well, you can catch it tonight here on 920 The Game from 6 to 10. Wes, we'll end on this. Game of the week in the NFL. It's an exciting one. It features two teams that, if you were looking before the season started that this was going to be a marquee game, I would have told you were probably crazy. I'm talking the Rams and the 49ers, two forces in the NFC. I don't know if you're particularly high on anyone, but at the very least, it's an exciting game. What do you think about this one?
It is, and I do like the Rams side here because, look, the 49ers were a team I took over their win total. I took them on a prop about a little over 5-2 that they would be one of the teams that make the playoffs. So I really like this team, and I really like Kyle Shanahan. But in this spot, I like the Rams, and I think you're seeing a little bit of a trepidation from some of the bettors to go on the Rams because, look, the practice canceled yesterday because of the 55-mile-an-hour winds. They don't know if Todd Gurley is going to play. And for all that he can bring to the table, if you remember the Rams last year when they didn't have him and they had C.J. Anderson, they did just fine. So, I mean, they do have two young guys, Malcolm Brown and Henderson, the guy out of Memphis, will probably be taking the reins here if Gurley can go. But this is one of those situations that I like, Mac, and where you have the team that's been the kind of king of the division or the king of the conference, if you will, with the Rams, and they started out a little slow by their standards. They lost two games in a row. Now you have a team, the 49ers, that people were kind of ignoring at 3-0, and then they see them on Monday Night Football get a big win over Cleveland, who was a pretty hyped team in the summer, and now this team's 4-0, and then you get the casual folks, I think, kind of take notice here. And this is what I call a kill 'em who's boss spot here with the Rams, where it's like, okay, the favorite's a little bit down from where they were. Now they got this plucky upstart in the division that thinks, hey, we're on these guys' level now. Well, maybe they're still a little ways away from that, where the favorite kind of says, okay, no, you're not. So if I can, this would probably be something with as low of a price as it is, I might lay money line, but you'd surely like to lay 3 if you can find it in different spots. But I think this is where the Rams get on track and kind of say, don't dismiss us just yet. Just because we've lost a couple games in a row, we're still here and we're still relevant. So I think there's a chance they could put it to the 49ers this weekend.
Great stuff, Wes. As always, man, it's always fun chatting with you. Wes Reynolds from VSiN. You can find him out there at Twitter, at WesReynolds1. Enjoy the games, my friend. We'll catch up with you down the road. Sound good?
You too, Mac. Thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely. There you go. Wes Reynolds from Parts Unknown, Indy, born and bred. Our buddy Wes, you can catch him, I mentioned, on the Green Zone coming up 6 to 10 here on 920 The Game. When we come back, full recap from last night between the Arizona Coyotes and the Vegas Golden Knights, and we look ahead to Saturday's matchup against the Calgary Flames here on the Mac Attack. Taking everything that I have not to sing along to that. I mean, it would be horrible. It ain't no fun. Oh, yeah, I'm not gonna. Yeah, I can't do it. I'm lose all our listeners. You're making me groove, Magnum.
The good thing is there's no words.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we could play that on the air.
No, we definitely can't play it. No.
Just know it ain't no fun if the homies can't have none.
That's true.
And we ain't talking about alcohol.
Words to live by. OPP. All right. So thanks
lots
to
of it.
Thanks to Wes Reynolds there for stopping by. If you missed any part of that chat as he got you primed and ready for the week ahead in the NFL in terms of gambling, you can find that interview on lvsportsnetwork.com after the show. Just click on the 920 The Game tab. Go on down there to the Mac Attack. All the shows are uploaded for your listening pleasure. And as Wes was talking about, he liked Jacksonville over the Saints. And it looks like, according to Jaguars owner Shad Khan, Jaguars are going to have Jalen Ramsey.
It's a big
in the secondary.
Big boost.
Yeah, listen, I thought Jalen should probably stick this out. I think this Jaguars defense is more like the defense from 2 years ago as opposed to last year. I understand he's upset. I understand he has feelings. I do not think the Jaguars have done him any favors. He should have a new contract. It's absolutely ridiculous that he doesn't. They've showed him no love. They've essentially treated him as a rookie, as a secondary player, and it's absolutely ridiculous. So I understand the situation he's at. But this Jacksonville team is well put together, and they could make a run. I think anytime you have Leonard Fournette, I'm sorry. I've been high on that guy forever. I'm still high on him. I'm going to be high on him. He is a force. He can be Ezekiel Elliott-esque in a way he can dominate a game. He can wear down defenses. You have a good defense, and you have the intangible. Gardner Minshew, we don't know about this kid. He seems to be a leader. He seems to be able to motivate his team in ways that others can't, right? So we don't know what he is. He could be special. So I liked Wes's pick on the Jaguars, and I like it even more now. Looks like Jalen Ramsey is going to play. All right, Magnum, you were out on the call last night. You were part of the VGK Insider crew. You watched the game, Vegas Golden Knights, Arizona Coyotes. I told everyone yesterday, watch out for this Arizona team. They are a team of pride. They almost made the playoffs last year. They could make the playoffs this year. They're dangerous. They're young. They're fast. And they're an actual team. They never quit. And you saw it last night. They beat up on the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, I don't want to say there's must-win game 3 games into the season, but for Arizona, it kind of was.
Well, at 0-2.
Yeah, 0-2. Yeah. You know, you only scored one goal in those 2 games. However, they've got an outstanding goaltending. Darcy Kemper was amazing last night. He was phenomenal.
Yep.
And he's a guy who played really well down the stretch for them. When Antti Raanta got hurt, Darcy Kemper stepped in, almost helped them get into the playoffs. They've got one of the best defensemen in the game who nobody really knows, Oliver Ekman-Larsson. They've got a lot of good young players. Connor Garland scored 2 goals last night. I mean, it was a combination of things that kind of just didn't go the Golden Knights' way, like some bad luck. Puck went in off of a skate. I think it was Nick Hague's skate that the puck went in off of.
Yeah.
You know, Connor Garland's second goal, defenseman turns the puck over and it flies out of the neutral zone as Garland is exiting the penalty box.
But you just mentioned it, defensive turnover.
Exactly. A lot of turnovers. Defensively, they look to be, because we saw Gerard Gallant mixed up defensive pairings last night.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Hague was skating with Nick Holden, Derek England, and John Merrill together. Shea Theodore, Braden McNabb. I think, and it just came down a few hours ago, that the Golden Knights have sent Jimmy Schultz to Chicago.
Okay.
Jake Bischoff recalled.
Well, we know that makes the man across the hallway very excited.
Yes.
Mr. And Tyler Bischoff, his long-lost cousin or brother or whatever. I don't know.
He said, Tyler one time said he's the only other Bischoff besides Eric Bischoff that he's ever known to be famous with the same last name. So,
and it's in his city, and it's the hockey team. He's excited.
Yeah, I saw him tweet out earlier that he has to choose between the pooper scooper at the LV Lights game or watching Jake Bischoff play, because I do think Jake Bischoff is going to play.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play tomorrow, and I think Nick Holden will sit.
That's a big day for Tyler.
Yeah. Decisions. Yeah. He's got to choose decisions. It's just, you know, the the negativity that I see being thrown at Nick Hague's way, though, is unfair.
Well,
because he's a kid.
He's young.
He's in his he's only played 3 NHL games. Yeah. He's a big kid, and you know, he's still learning how to play at this level. So people have to accept that he's not going to be.
And he's also not being anchored by Nate Schmidt, the quarterback of that defense. Which
and
is
and the reality
is
maybe he wouldn't even be playing if Nate Schmidt. Oh,
for sure.
So,
yeah.
But, you know, I think Gerard Gallant going to mix things up. Jimmy Schultz sent down. I'm not sure why Jimmy Schultz gets the nod over Jake Bischoff, but they have their reasons. You know, I think we are going to see tomorrow night, Jake Bischoff will become the third rookie to make a debut for the Golden Knights in five games.
Now, we don't really have an update on Malcolm Subban. For those of you that weren't watching and you're just getting caught up, Malcolm Subban left the game last night, was replaced by Marc-Andre Fleury. It is definitely an injury. That doesn't happen without an injury, right?
Yeah, because he played really well in that first period.
Oh, he did. I mean, he let in two goals, but none were really... I mean,
not his fault.
He was playing out of his mind, post to post. Really impressive output from Malcolm Subban before going down to injury. So, doubleheader this weekend. Not in town. Well, they are in town. Vegas Golden Knights taking on the Calgary Flames on Saturday. And then they turn around and they play the Kings on Sunday, Magnum. So, a bit of an important stretch in terms of the weekend goes. We'll keep an eye on that. Raiders off on the bye week. You know that. Not breaking any news there. They will be back next week against the Texans. Or is it the Packers? Who's next? It's either the Texans or the Packers. I think it's the Texans. I'm not going to put Magnum on the spot. Either way, we will be back on Monday with the stacked edition of the Mac Attack. Plenty of Vegas Golden Knights talking a look at the NFL. We'll see you then, friends. Enjoy the weekend.